let's get moving. Now, this session is going to be a little bit different. It's not going to be a standard sermon. It's going to be more of a Bible study. Bible study with PowerPoint and clicking. And what I want to do is talk about the topic of Spirit-empowered evangelism. Spirit-empowered evangelism. But before we do that, we're going to talk to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Oh, our great and sovereign Lord, we thank you that we've had such a good day so far, learning about you and hearing from your word. Lord, we do pray that you would help us take on board all that we're being taught and that we would honour Christ with the information that we are getting. Lord, we pray you'll be with us now in this session. May we study the Holy Spirit and the role of the Spirit in evangelism. And Lord, would you help us overcome fear and enable us to boldly declare the word of God. Lord, be with me now as I speak. May you loosen my tongue to speak what you would have me to speak. And may your name be glorified. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, this year is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And as such, you may have seen people online or even documentaries where people are getting excited about the reformers. People for the first time are discovering the Protestant reformers. People are reading Luther and Calvin, Tyndale, Wycliffe and Knox. And something I've noticed is that as people read these guys, they often envision them and present them as being these Christian powerhouses that feared no one. We seem to have this vision of the reformers from 500 years ago that they had no fear. They were constantly bold. They were constantly courageous, declaring the word of God. They had a take no prisoners approach to gospel ministry. The problem is that image is actually a myth. The reformers were men of God, but they were just that, men. They had the same fears, they had the same concerns that you and I have. If you ever read the reformers, you'll quickly discover that they were men who desperately relied upon the Spirit of God. For instance, one such reformer who's known as the trumpet or the thunder of the Reformation was a man named John Knox, a fiery Scotsman. And monarchs and armies actually feared John Knox. Mary, Queen of Scots, said that she didn't fear any army in Europe, but she feared the prayers of John Knox. So people were afraid of him. And as a result, we think Knox was this big, courageous, mean, rough character. And when I lived in Scotland, there's still a lot of Scots that have that mentality of Knox. Well, I lived in a city called Perth. People often thought it was Perth, Western Australia. No, it was Perth, Scotland. And I'd live in Perth, and in the city centre, there was a big church called St. John's Kirk. And St. John's Kirk is an old building that predated the Reformation. And if you ever go there, there's this massive sign along the side of the church detailing the visit of John Knox. They didn't like him, they don't like him now, so the sign isn't exactly friendly. But what happened was this. John Knox went there and he preached against the blasphemous mass. He let the Catholics have it. He preached Protestant doctrine. He preached salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. He preached that the Scripture alone is authoritative for all matters of faith and practice. And the people of Perth loved it. They embraced Protestant doctrine. The priest didn't like it. He wasn't impressed. So after Knox had left, he went into the church and said, we are now going to partake of the Mass. We're going to have the Eucharist. And he started to go through the blasphemy of the Mass. And people were stunned. And this one little boy stood up against the priest and said, that is blasphemy. And the priest backhanded the boy, smacked him to the ground. Well, that was it. The crowd was furious. They rioted. They protested. They burnt down the monasteries. They smashed the idols. They drove the priests and the nuns out of the city, and the city of Perth declared for the Protestant Reformation. Now, we hear stories like that, and we go, that's what Knox was like all the time. That was the sort of preaching. That was the outworking of the ministry of John Knox, thundering reformational preaching. But what we miss is this. John Knox was a weak man. It is said when he was first called upon to preach that Knox was absolutely terrified. One day in St. Andrew's in the castle chapel, there was a crowd of people there and the preacher was preaching and he said, John Knox is a man called by God to preach the word. John Knox ran from the chapel crying like a baby. That's not the image we have of John Knox today, is it? He was a man who was terrified. He started with fear, but he ended as the trumpet of the Reformation. And the question we have to ask is, what happened? You see, throughout history, throughout the church, throughout the Bible as a whole, we see that God delights in taking those people who are scared and transforming them into mighty workers for his kingdom. For instance, think of the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost stands up and he preaches to a crowd of Jews that had gathered from every nation under heaven. And as he preaches to them, Peter explains to the vast crowd who Christ is and how he is the long-awaited Messiah. He opens up the Old Testament and he shows through many scriptures that Jesus is the Savior. He then explains that Christ was delivered up to die according to the predetermined plan of God, but death could not hold him, that Christ rose again and now he is exalted and sits at the right hand of God. Peter then looks at the crowd on Pentecost and says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." What boldness, what courage, standing in the face of the crowd who crucified Jesus and said, "You killed the King of Glory." And the people responded, "What must we do?" And Peter said, "Repent." And 3,000 of them did just that. What preaching, what power. But what we need to remember is just a few chapters earlier, Peter was a coward. He fled, he ran, he denied the Lord, he abandoned him. So what happened? What changed? Well, Apostle Peter, like John Knox, experienced a radical change of life. So what was it that caused such a radical change? The answer is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus speaking when he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." What happened is that the Holy Spirit was given. The Holy Spirit enabled Peter to stand and boldly declare the truth. The Holy Spirit was he who enabled John Knox to be the thunderous reformational preacher. See, notice from the text there that the Holy Spirit is given with a purpose in mind. He is given so that you will be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit empowers believers to preach the gospel. For Peter, he was given a boldness to stand up on the day of Pentecost and preach to the crowds of Jews, "You need to trust in Jesus." For John Knox, when he relied upon the Holy Spirit, he was able to stand before monarchs, before armies, and declare the truth of the gospel. The truth is that you and I, like Knox and like Peter, will be greatly enabled in our evangelism, will be greatly enabled in our witness when we too come to a place where we have a reliance upon the Holy Spirit. It is so easy in evangelism to become scared. So I can relate to people like Peter and like Knox when I go, I'm terrified of witnessing. Yet the same Holy Spirit that enabled both Peter and Knox to preach the gospel faithfully and boldly is the same Holy Spirit who indwells all believers. He's the same Holy Spirit that is present in the life of all those who have trusted in Christ, and he's still in the business of enabling us to be witnesses for Christ. So who is this Holy Spirit? Now, I think it's probably good if we define our terms and safely say who the Holy Spirit is. And the reason for that is there's much confusion over the person of the Holy Spirit today. For instance, did you know the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that the Holy Spirit is not knowable and he isn't one of the three persons of the Trinity? They believe the Holy Spirit is a force, just like radar. Other people have views of the Holy Spirit that says everything revolves around him and that we should seek him constantly in order to have new revelations, experiences, and all other kinds of weird things. Another extreme is that some people ignore the Holy Spirit completely. They never mention him, even though their creeds and confessions state their belief in him. They may say they believe in the Holy Spirit, but he is absent from their preaching and teaching. So there's much confusion over the person of the Holy Spirit. And what we need to do if we want to understand how to have Spirit-empowered evangelism, how to overcome fear in evangelism, is to actually understand who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. Now, let me stress something at this point. This is not going to be a message on have tongues, prophecy, and miracles ceased, or do they continue? I'm not dealing with the cessation or the continuation debate. If you want to have that debate, your pastor will love to talk to you about it. Go and chat to him and say, "Pastor, tongues, yes or no?" And every pastor will go, "I've just got to go get a cup of tea," and they'll be out of there, okay? This is not the message for that. I definitely have my view on it, but that's not what we're talking about today. We're not having a strange fire versus authentic fire debate. Rather, what I want us to do is grab a hold of the biblical doctrine of the Holy Spirit that both sides of the debate can agree upon. So who is the Holy Spirit and what does he do? Well, the first truth we need to establish is this. The Holy Spirit is God. In Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 11, we read the account of the husband and wife, Ananias and Sapphira. Now, this couple, what they did was they sold a piece of property that they owned and they promised to give all the money to the apostles, to the church. But when it came time to actually giving the money, they decided they weren't going to do it after all. They'll give them a little bit, but not all of it. So Ananias comes before the apostle Peter and he gives the money to him. And Peter says, "Is that all that you have?" And Ananias says, "Yeah, that's it. That's all I have." But Peter knew that he was lying. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 3 to 4, we read these words. "Ananias," Peter asked, "why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the proceeds of the land? Wasn't it yours while you possessed it?" So question from that text, who has Ananias lied to? To the Holy Spirit. Next verse. "After it was sold, wasn't it at your disposal? Why is it you planned this thing in your heart? You have not lied to people, but to God." Who did he lie to? To God. So the argument being put forward here and the construct that Peter is bringing in his language is that the Holy Spirit is God. And that's what we've got to start with. And that's a helpful verse to remember when you deal with a cult, such as the Jehovah's Witnesses. They won't answer this passage. Acts chapter 5 tells us that the Holy Spirit is God. Now, biblically speaking, we know that there is only one God, but that one God expresses himself in three persons. It's the doctrine of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each person within the Godhead is fully God. They are co-eternal and co-equal. The Holy Spirit is God, but he is not the Father, nor is he the Son. One God in three persons. That's the historic biblical view of God. So the Holy Spirit is God. And if we're going to deal with Spirit-empowered evangelism, we need to realize that we're dealing with God. That God, by his Spirit, will enable us to witness. That God will equip us and resource us and give us the ability to be witnesses for Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given to people almost on a temporary basis. He was given for a specific role and a specific purpose to enable them to do a certain task. However, in the New Testament, we see the Holy Spirit being given in a different way. He's not given temporarily, but he's given permanently to all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. God does not take his Holy Spirit from you if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God, I'm stressing this for a reason. The Holy Spirit is in you if you're a believer. Now, when you go out and witness, that means inside of you, you have the God who promises to help you be a witness. You have God in you, enabling you to make much of Jesus. In Ephesians 1, 3 to 4, we read these words. It says, "In him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And when you believed, the Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory." Notice what the text says there. When you believed, when you heard the gospel, when you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer here this afternoon, know this. God is in you. The Spirit of God dwells within you. And he was given to help you witness, to help you make much of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's terrifying to evangelize. I'm not going to stand here and lie to you and say, "Guess what, guys, I have this all together." Nope. There have been times I have literally had my legs shaking when I stood in the open air preaching. And if you ever see me open air preaching, I'm moving my legs back and forth like this. It's because I'm trying to hide my knees from knocking. I get terrified in the open air. There's times when I'll sit next to someone to share the gospel, and I'm there going, oh, I don't want to talk to this bloke. He's big, mean, and ugly. He's going to hurt me. And so easily we can be put off by the way someone looks that we let our fear overcome our love for that person. But if we have the Holy Spirit within us, we have this enabling by God's Spirit for us to overcome our fears and be witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the role of the Holy Spirit? Firstly, He's God. He enables us to witness. Now, I know this subject may be a bit heavy, and you might be sitting there going, well, this is an evangelism conference. We're doing theology now. First, we had penal substitutionary atonement. Now we have the role of the Holy Spirit. When are we getting to the practical side of evangelism? Well, this is the practical side. You see, theology and evangelism go hand in hand. They're the best of mates. You cannot effectively evangelize. You cannot effectively be a witness for Jesus if you don't know what you're talking about. We have to be informed when we come to sharing the gospel. So when we come to dealing with things of the Spirit, when it comes to dealing with Spirit-empowered evangelism, we need to know who it is that actually empowers us. We need to understand the Holy Spirit. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, firstly, He points us to Jesus. Look at John 15:26. When the Counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about me. Think back to Acts 1:8. The Holy Spirit is given so you'll be a witness for Jesus. Here Jesus speaks in John 15:26 and says He's going to give the Counselor. He's going to give the Holy Spirit who will come alongside you and He will testify about who? Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit's role is to point away from Himself and point to Christ. The Holy Spirit points constantly in Jesus and says, look at Him. Look at Him. Look at Jesus. He's wonderful. Be a witness about Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He enables us to testify of Christ. He enables us to be a witness for Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't seek to promote Himself. The Holy Spirit promotes Jesus. So when you have people say, well, the Holy Spirit is at work, but their focus is all on things such as signs and wonders and different experiences, you have to ask, is the Holy Spirit really at work? The Holy Spirit's job is not to draw attention to Himself. The Holy Spirit, we are told by Jesus, testifies about Jesus. It points to Christ. It points to Him. And that's what He enables us to do also. You see, God has called all of us to be witnesses for Christ. We are all called to make much of Jesus. But in and of our own strength, we can't do it. We're fallen human beings who easily get scared. So God gives us the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the one who comes to us, who enables us to testify of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit's job is empowering us for witness. Now, I find that really helpful when I'm afraid in evangelism. I find that extremely helpful because when I'm terrified, I know that inside of me is the Spirit of God, that He has been given to enable me to talk of Jesus. And the amount of times I've been praying when I go out to evangelize, oh, Holy Spirit, please help me. I really, really need help. And preachers throughout the ages know what that's like. Charles Spurgeon, who is a hero, I love Spurgeon. When Spurgeon used to walk up to the pulpit in the Metropolitan Tabernacle to preach to thousands of people, he would walk up and he said, all he constantly reminded himself was this, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. As he walked the steps, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Spurgeon felt fear, yet he reminded himself that with the Holy Spirit's enabling, with the Holy Spirit's empowering, he could preach the gospel. Now, I need to be reminded of that constantly. And I'm sure you do too. I'm sure every Christian who ever wants to share the gospel has felt times of fear. And we have to constantly remind ourselves, the Holy Spirit has been given. He's given to me because I have believed in Jesus. The Holy Spirit enables me to be a witness. Right, the Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus. He wants me to speak. Oh God, would you by your Holy Spirit enable me to make much of Christ? And when we submit ourselves to the Spirit, when we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, walk in the Spirit, guess what? We find our tongues loosed and we're able to preach and talk about Jesus. Now, what I want to do is a bit of a Bible study. So I'm going to put a lot of Bible verses up in just a moment. And what I want us to do is track from the Old Testament to the New Testament about what the Holy Spirit does. Now, we're looking at just one aspect of the Spirit. This is not an exhaustive theology on the Holy Spirit. We'd be here for many, many, many hours if we were to do that, okay? We're just going to look at how the Holy Spirit enables us to speak and declare the gospel. So we're going from Old Testament to New Testament, and I hope that by doing this, we will together learn to overcome our fears and be empowered for our witness. So let's start in the Old Testament, start in the first half of our Bibles. If you have a pen and paper, you may want to write down these references. If not, I hope you have a great memory. The first one is Numbers chapter 11, verse 24 to 25. The Word of God says, Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. He brought 70 men from the elders of the people and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord descended in a cloud and spoke to him. He took some of the spirit that was on Moses and placed the spirit on the 70 elders. As the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they never did it again. Notice what's happening in the text. Here we have God taking a portion of the spirit and placing it upon the elders. Now pay special attention to that. The Holy Spirit is placed on, but not in. That's one of the fundamental differences between the Old and the New Testament. The Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was put upon someone for a certain task. The New Testament, the Holy Spirit is put inside of us. But here we have the Holy Spirit put upon these elders to enable them for a task. What was the task? They were to prophesy. The Spirit enabled them to prophesy. In other words, they were empowered to speak God's word. Prophecy is a declaring of God's word. In the Bible, it could either be new revelation, as the Old Testament prophets did, or it could be a case of telling forth the revelation we already have, the Word of God. So we have the Spirit of God enabling people to prophesy, enabling them to preach, to speak, to declare God's Word. The next scripture is Numbers 24, 2-3. When Balaam looked up and saw Israel encamped, tribe by tribe, the Spirit of God came on him and he proclaimed. You're going to pick up very quickly what the theme is here. Very, very quickly. What happens? Well, Balaam has the Spirit of God put upon him and he begins to proclaim. If you read the rest of Numbers 24, you see that he has poetry and prophecy. He speaks the word as God enables him. He speaks the oracles of God because the Holy Spirit gave him that ability. The Holy Spirit empowered him to speak. Third Bible verse, 2 Samuel 23, 1-2. These are the last words of David. The declaration of David, son of Jesse, the declaration of man raised on high, the one anointed by the God of Jacob. This is the most delightful of Israel's songs. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. Here is King David, the man who conquered Goliath, who led armies into battle, but was also a man who experienced fear, yet he acknowledges that he could only speak and have his tongue able to declare God's word because of the Holy Spirit. Again, notice the picture. What's the Spirit do? The Spirit enables people to speak God's word. The Spirit enables people to declare the greatness of God. I hope you see a pattern. I hope you can trace this as we go through from Old Testament to New Testament, that the Holy Spirit is not about performing outlandish signs in the hope that someone will look at it and go, wow. But no, the Holy Spirit enables people to speak so that they might hear God's word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So the Holy Spirit enables people to speak God's word. And this should give us so much confidence when we go out to share the gospel. When we go to share the gospel, we have a secret weapon. The Holy Spirit enabling us and telling us and guiding us what we should speak. This is greatly encouraging. When you're witnessing and you're going, I don't know how to answer this bloke, pray. And the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit enables us to speak God's word. One more Old Testament passage, Ezekiel 11:5. The Spirit of the Lord came on me and he told me, you are to say. Here Ezekiel is given a prophecy by God, but before he can speak God's word, notice the text, the Spirit had to come upon him. This is a prophet of God. And the prophet of God is saying, the Spirit had to enable me. And once the Spirit came upon him, once the Holy Spirit enabled him, he proclaimed God's word. If you want to make much of Jesus, if you want to proclaim the Lordship of Christ, if you want to call people to come and worship Jesus, be it from a pulpit or on the streets or on a soapbox or in a one-to-one conversation over a cup of coffee or in a Christianity Explored course or anything like that, if you want to be enabled to speak, then we need to be reliant upon the Holy Spirit. We need to grow. We must lean upon him. We must trust in him. For he has been given to make us testify of Jesus. So that's the Old Testament. Let's move into the New Testament now. Now, due to time limitations, we're not going to look at every verse. There's lots of them. I encourage you to do that study. Maybe just like filled with the Spirit or Holy Spirit in an online dictionary or get Strong's Concordance or something like that. And just do a Bible study on the Spirit of God. You'll find it very rewarding. But what we're going to do is limit ourselves to Luke's writings, so the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And eight times in those two books, we see references and examples of people being filled with the Spirit. And here's the spoiler alert. Guess what happens each time? They're enabled to speak. There's your spoiler right there. What does the Holy Spirit do? He enables them to speak. Luke 1:15-17. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous to make ready for the Lord a prepared people. Here we have a narrative where the angel Gabriel has appeared to Zechariah and told him that God was going to give him a son, even though him and his wife were past their use-by date. He says, God is going to do a miraculous thing. Glenn will get that joke in 5 minutes. Do a miraculous thing and he'll create baby. He'll give life. And that's exactly what happened, isn't it? He became, the baby was known as John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, we are told, was filled with the Spirit from the womb. And as he is filled with the Spirit, he is going to go out and preach. He's going to declare the gospel. And people are going to turn from their evil and turn and be ready for the coming of the Lord. And we see from the Gospels, that's exactly what happened. He goes out and it says, all of Judea and all of Jerusalem went out to the wilderness to hear John. And he said to them, repent. And they did. And they were baptized. And they were made ready for the coming of the Lord. But that was the work of the Holy Spirit upon John. The Holy Spirit enabled him to proclaim God's word. Luke 1:41-42. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside of her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women. And your child will be blessed. Just so we don't think we're limiting it to the men. Here is a lady, Elizabeth, who is the mother of John the Baptist. She is filled with the Holy Spirit as Mary comes near and she finds that her tongue is loosed and she begins to exclaim the praises and the word of God. The Spirit enables all people, regardless of their gender, to make known God's word. Men and women are called to be witnesses for Jesus. Sharing the gospel is not a male-only job. We are all commissioned to do it. We see with Elizabeth, the Spirit gives her the ability to speak. Luke 1:67. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. We go back to Zechariah this time. We see that he's filled with the Spirit. And once again, just like those in the Old Testament, he begins to speak the word of God. The Holy Spirit gives him the ability. Now, I know I'm laboring the point here, and I'm doing it for a reason. I want you to have a biblical theology. I don't want you just to say, well, I heard a sermon on the Holy Spirit. No, I want you to see from the text what the Holy Spirit does. I want the Bible to shape our theology. The Bible alone to guide us as we think about the role of the Holy Spirit. It's laboring the point, but we must grab a hold of this biblical theology when it comes to evangelism. We must know these things. We must know that time and time again that the Holy Spirit enables his people to speak, and grab a hold of that truth, because next time when you're scared, be reminded of that. Next time you feel that, oh, I'm going to share the gospel with someone, but all of a sudden you get that lump in your throat and you lose every bit of moisture you have in your mouth and your knees start to knock together, remind yourself that the Holy Spirit has been given to me to make much of Jesus. He will empower you. He will enable you to testify of Christ. Let's move into the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is the day of Pentecost. We heard earlier that Jews from every nation under heaven had been gathered. They all spoke different dialects. They all spoke different languages. But the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and they began to speak forth the wonders and the majesty of Christ. And each person heard him in their own language. The Holy Spirit enabled the gospel to be proclaimed to people from all different backgrounds, from all different cultures. The Holy Spirit is not just going to say, well, I'm going to save New Zealanders and Australians, and that's it. He's not going to do that. The Holy Spirit wants people from all nations to hear of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will enable us to testify to all people. This is Spirit-empowered evangelism. The Holy Spirit says it doesn't matter who the person is that you are talking to. I will enable you to testify of Christ. I will enable you to be a witness. When you go out into your community, and I've noticed even on my flight here yesterday that there was a lot of backpackers coming to Christchurch. There was a German lady behind me. The Holy Spirit will enable you to witness to her. Doesn't matter if you don't understand her culture and context. The Holy Spirit enables you to be a witness for Jesus. When you meet a man from Swahili, you might not know all the cultural norms, but the Holy Spirit will enable you to be a witness to him. The Spirit enables people to preach the gospel. Acts 4 verse 8, then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and said to them, surely you can see the picture. The Spirit is given. Once again, Peter speaks. Acts 4:31. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. Here is a situation where Peter and John have faced persecution. They have been arrested for preaching. They've been detained for their faith. And they are praying for boldness. This tells you they must have been scared. They wouldn't have been human if they weren't concerned and scared at this point of time. Yet in the midst of persecution, what do? They pray for boldness. They pray that the Holy Spirit would come upon them and enable them to preach. And God hears that prayer and he answers them. He fills them with the Holy Spirit. And they proclaim the word of God boldly. When you have fear, pray. Don't go, I've got to go find a new evangelism method, or I've got to find a new course or a technique, or maybe if I had just had this better tract, then perhaps I could be a better witness. No. When you feel fear, rely upon the Holy Spirit. Pray. Lord, open my mouth and fill it with your word. Let me testify of Jesus. And you'll be amazed at what he does. You truly will. He will enable you to make much of Jesus. Acts 9, 17 to 20. Ananias, not the same Ananias who was killed earlier. Ananias went and entered the house. He placed his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road you were traveling has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. At once, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up, was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some time. Immediately, he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. He is the Son of God. The Damascus Road conversion of Saul, also known as Paul. He's converted, he's gone blind. Ananias comes along and says, heal him, be filled with the Spirit. Paul's obviously hungry, has something to eat, he's baptized, and immediately he goes into the synagogues and proclaims Jesus. The Holy Spirit enables him to speak. He's filled with the Spirit, and immediately he proclaims Jesus in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Acts 13:9-10. But Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, stared straight at Elymas and said, you are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery, you son of the devil, an enemy of all that is right. Won't you ever stop perverting the straight paths of the Lord? What a confronting message. You go out witnessing, you son of the devil. Paul did it. But notice it was the Holy Spirit that enabled him to do this. So often I think we can try and do the confronting thing without the Holy Spirit's enabling, and we're just a bunch of jerks when we do that. The Holy Spirit enabled Paul to speak a direct word, a rebuke in season. But before that rebuke was given, the Spirit filled him, and he was enabled to preach. So what is the role of the Holy Spirit? Well, I think it's abundantly clear from all the verses that we looked at that the Holy Spirit is given to enable God's people, to enable you and I to speak God's word. We have seen that both men and women, the educated, the uneducated, the old converts, the new converts, all being filled with the Holy Spirit and then empowered to speak. This is a purpose of the Holy Spirit. He has been given so that the church, so that you and I, so that all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can make much of Jesus, that we can testify of him, that we can go out into a world that is hostile to the gospel and be empowered by him to declare the Christ, to declare Jesus. He has been given to enable you to witness, not just in the open air, and I hope you try open air preaching. He has been given not just to enable you to preach in a pulpit. He has been given not just to enable you to boldly hand out tracts, but he's been given so that you might be a witness in all of life, in every different aspect. When you're having a cup of coffee with someone, the Holy Spirit has been given so you can do that. When you're witnessing to your friend at work, or at school, or at university, the Holy Spirit has been given so you can be a witness there. It's not just the case of the Holy Spirit being given to enable you to preach and proclaim the gospel at organized evangelistic events. No, he is given so that daily you can be a witness for Jesus. What is a witness? A witness merely tells of what he has seen and heard and experienced. We have seen and experienced the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit enables us to testify of that, to be a witness to that, to declare, I was once lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. The Holy Spirit enables us to be a witness for Jesus. If you are saved today, then today you can have confidence. You can have a boldness and a courage that the Holy Spirit is inside of you. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say, I have been equipped. I have that which enables me to be a witness. We have seen scripture after scripture that declares that the Spirit will enable you to speak. Now, based on the truthfulness of the Bible, we who are followers in the Lord Jesus can never say, I can't witness or I can't evangelize. The moment you say, I'm too scared, I can't witness, you're actually saying the Holy Spirit is not enough. You're saying he cannot fulfill his promise. He cannot fulfill his purpose. Now again, I'm not saying that all of a sudden you've got a golden bullet that's going to remove all fear. Not saying that at all. I need to be reminded of this constantly. Because so often I would say, I can't do this. And you know what? I can't. I can't do it. But the Holy Spirit in me can and does. I know it's easy for people to say, well, evangelists just don't get fear. Well, we do. There's a good little book called Honest Evangelism by Rico Tice. Now, Rico Tice is the guy who came up with Christianity Explored. Wonderful evangelist. And I love that book because he is open and honest. And he says, I get scared too. I get scared. It's hard. So I'm not going to lie to you and say that evangelism is not going to be hard. It's not going to be scary. I'm not lying to you. It'll be scary. It will be very hard. But greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Greater is the Holy Spirit that enables you to preach, to declare the gospel, to be a witness to Jesus than any person in this world. The Holy Spirit's plan is to enable the church to take this city, to take this nation and the nations of the world for Jesus. Will we as his people submit to him and his ways? Would you rely upon him to overcome your fear in evangelism? See, God hasn't abandoned you. God hasn't set the task of evangelism as this impossible mission. No, he has given us everything we need. He has given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to fulfill the calling that he has placed upon our lives. Would you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit? Next time you're afraid, and there will be a next time. Next time you're terrified, remind yourselves of these truths. The Spirit lives in me. He enables me to witness for Jesus, and by his strength, I will testify of Christ. Let's pray. Oh, our loving God, we thank you that you have not left us to wander all by ourselves trying to work out how to evangelize. We thank you that even though there are times that we are scared and times that we don't want to witness because of fear, you have given the Holy Spirit to us. May we walk in the Spirit. May we be reliant upon him. May we experience Spirit-empowered evangelism. And may we testify of the Lord Jesus. Our Holy Spirit, enable us. Grant us boldness so that we might speak the word of Christ and make much of Jesus. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.